Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Is everybody with us tonight? And the last person in the world you thought you'd see opening this show. Here we are, 10 February. We want to welcome everybody to the Hagmann Report. And as a special guest tonight, we'll have Doug Hagmann on here at some point. Tonight, our special guest is Craig Sawyer. And everybody knows Craig is out there working diligently, trying to save the children, man. Trying to save the children from the evil that is out there. That there is a lot of evil out there. The kids are in danger. Child sex trafficking is horrific. It's up there with drug trafficking. There's a lot of money in flesh. And Craig's here tonight to fill us in on some of the things he's been doing. And he's very active. And Craig, what's the name of the organization again?
Rescue.
Veterans for Child Rescue. And I know I see him on X all the time. He's on other platforms, I'm sure. And this is something, ladies and gentlemen, you need to pay attention to. Okay, we are in a fight today, in a battle of good versus evil. And hopefully we'll have some tips here on what we can do. And, you know, we've really got to get serious with God and praying in earnest. That's something that a lot of us really don't do. We say a prayer and that's it. No, you got to pray in earnest. When you're laying there and you can't sleep, you want to know the best way to go to sleep? You start praying. The devil will put you to sleep. He can't stand you praying. All right? And our God is listening. And Craig, I'm going to give it to you, sir.
All right. Well, first of all, I appreciate you guys having me on to cover this important topic. And, you know, I founded Veterans for Child Rescue 8 years ago to expose and combat child trafficking. Expose because the good Lord's charged us with exposing evil. Don't entertain it. Don't make friends with it, but expose it. And so that's why I founded Veterans for Child Rescue. We made Contraland, our first documentary, to expose that. And during the making of that documentary, we found that we could run very effective joint sting operations with federal, state, and local law enforcement. So we began doing that. And we've continued that all along. And that ebbs and flows according to who's at the wheel, what administration is driving the culture of this nation, and how willing law enforcement are to run the joint sting operations and catch everybody. Because we, in our operations, we do not play favorites. So we've caught all kinds. We've caught an active duty federal law enforcement agent. We've from the IRS, Treasury Department. We've caught a sheriff's brother from the neighboring county. We've caught an LDS church elder who came after church for two girls in Utah. We've caught illegal aliens. We've caught an active duty army recruiter. And, you know, even a husband that left a ski resort with his family's van with two baby seats in the back came down to access a girl for sex and then run back up, he thought, to catch his wife and kids up there. Of course, he never made it back. All these guys went to prison because we have got 100% conviction rate. So,
and that just proves that there's no atypical person that does this. There's no way to spot them in a crowd.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what people really need to understand. It could be your neighbor. It could be your pastor. You don't know. And that's the scary part. The evil is among us. And they hide among us for safety.
That's what we found, Randy, is that you can't judge a book by its cover. It's an individual choice, right? Of what we do in private, what we look at online, what we go do behind our wives' backs or husbands' backs or anything like that. So it's very individual, but there are some things that are unified. And at the higher end, I say higher end, we're talking More power, more wealth, more corruption, the organized networks, the motive of that, and we've talked about it on this show before, as of others, is the spiritual motive for the wealth and power. And that's ancient, and it's been done since the beginning of mankind. People sacrificing the children to false demonic gods and, the fallen themselves.
That
And
is so
so,
horrific, man.
but now, to bring that to present day, we've got the Epstein files being released. And what are they demonstrating? Exactly that. Precisely that. That those weak men and women of character will do anything, pardon me, for wealth and power. And that's why they get into these secret societies that JFK warned us about. Even George Carlin, the comedian, said, "Well, it's a big honking club and you ain't in it."
That's right.
Well, he knew what he was talking about by then. And I thought he was just angry. I'm like, George used to be funny, but now he seems more angry. Well, he started learning what was going on in the entertainment industry and the wealthy and power, and he started kind of exposing how it really works, who really owns countries and runs them. Well, how do you do that without long-term systematic systems of corruption? And that's what we've got here. That's why nothing works right. So, I mean, we've been on the backside and the front side, arresting the predators and putting a stop to it and exposing it, trying to empower the American people with the knowledge of what we all need to know to stand up together. So that's what we're doing.
What happened and whatever happened with that deal going on in Tennessee, where you had that guy that was running interference for pedophiles?
Well, the wicked have been allowed to prevail so far in Tennessee. You've got that radical reporter. He was able to bring in state law enforcement to run interference for the
Right.
traffickers, and they seized all of the evidence on high-level organized crime, hundreds of billions of dollars in real estate loan fraud, which is how they launder their money, these big
Okay.
criminal networks. We're talking Luciferians who do all the sick things to children. And it's a global network. And they were building a big stronghold in Nashville, in that area. And it continues. So that system, that situation remains as it did over a year ago.
Yeah.
Federal or the state law enforcement moved in, seized all the evidence of high-level organized crime, and has made it go away. And
I
so,
was I know I was following that, and then it was about a year ago, and then I ended up in the hospital most of last year with I got my legs amputated, and but I remember following that, and once again, someone in the media protecting evil.
Randy, I
Once
didn't know that,
again,
brother.
oh yeah,
I wish you would have let me know that.
I lost both legs last year. Yeah, left one in February. And the right one in September, late
Okay.
September.
All right. Well, let's talk later offline about
Yeah,
that.
you got it, brother.
So yeah, that situation remains as it did, and we've gone around several other states since then, run more operations and arresting more predators, investigating more in trafficking rings, and piecing together. We've got an intel and investigations team that is fantastic and powerful. I want to connect them directly to you guys because I think that alliance would be mutually beneficial. These guys are very talented. They come from military law enforcement intel. And these guys have a lot of tools, a lot of network, a lot of connections, and they're crafty, they're clever.
Cool.
They find out. They find out what makes everything tick real quick. So it's
How
good.
big? How big a team we looking at here?
Mainly two guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Right on.
yeah. It extends further than that. Guys that ebb in and out,
Right.
that also work elsewhere. But the main core of it are two guys that have been working together for years.
Well, that's cool. Now, in
Yeah.
the United States, as you guys track pedophiles and you may arrest and you guys been involved in law enforcement operations, is there any particular areas of the country where this seems to be more predominant
There
or rural
are,
versus, you know what I'm saying? Is
yes,
there
sir,
a
I do.
pattern?
There are patterns, and if you could put it on a heat map, you'd see hot spots like Houston, Texas, where the DA refuses to prosecute. And you have that in all major cities
Okay.
now. because George Soros funds the campaigns of those district attorneys with the secret agreement that they won't prosecute entire categories of harmful crime. So you've got that in L.A. and New York City and all those others like that.
All right, so that's not imaginary. That is why he put so many DAs in office.
Yeah, it's like a leapfrog. If you like play checkers, he's gone past law enforcement to a choke point, which is the prosecutorial process, right? Go to the DA's office, lock that down, block the prosecution. Then it doesn't matter what cases law enforcement put together. They can't get the case prosecuted. Now, you and I both know, we all on this call all know that's a glaring conflict of interest. That's a horrible miscarriage of justice. You can't pay any elected official on the backside, fund their campaign with the agreement that they won't do their elected duty for the people that elected them. That's not a, that shouldn't be allowed, but yet that's known. That's been discussed in open congressional session on C-SPAN and others. They talk about George Soros funding the DAs and then attorneys general and the judges. Why is that allowed? Well, I think it just shows you what the Epstein files again are revealing, is that the corruption is that extensive.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm surprised George Soros hasn't had a label put on him by the government, you know, that would require his arrest.
They're all friends.
I know.
And half of them are rich because of him.
Does it help at all?
Off of your tax dollars, Randy, and mine.
When you have celebrities that get involved in these things, like Shaquille O'Neal used to help the Orange County Sheriff's Department in Florida doing what you guys are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Does it help if there's a celebrity involved? Like, it's easier for the DA to put pressure on the DA if there's a celebrity involved?
There's the possibility of that. It's the situation's going to dictate on what leverages are upon each district attorney or sheriff or chief of police. Some locations, the chief law enforcement officer is utterly corrupt. And then it kind of, you know, the cartel's pulling their strings or another crime network.
So plain and simple, we need to replace DAs.
Well, we need to ensure that the DAs are acting in good faith. And the ones that are clearly corrupt, that we need to prosecute them, not just fire them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely prosecute them.
Because it's a gross betrayal of the public trust. Because our neighborhoods are all more violent and less safe, and we're losing our money and power because the evil's allowed to have its way. So we're all paying for this.
I'm terrified to let my daughter go out, man.
It's not a victimless crime. You know what I mean?
I'm serious. I'm terrified. The area where we live in, there's a teenager girl goes missing every night.
Mm, yeah.
And they're just not doing anything about it, buddy.
There are times like that when you have one or multiple children disappearing in an area like in D.C. There for a while, there was a run of them. They're going disappearing in rapid succession. What I almost guarantee you're looking at now, or what I would expect, what I would look for, is a Luciferian network. They're either organ harvesting and they're making fat money, or they're sacrificing these children in rituals for power. So it's either wealth or power, because that's really all the only thing these people are after.
Especially the organ harvesting. That is very prevalent today. The marketing of it's amazing.
I think the biggest challenge in all of this, you know, we're not afraid of the bad guys. We serve King Jesus, and he wants this exposed. He's called us to expose it and protect the innocent and the defenseless. And so that's what we're doing. So we're not worried about that aspect of it. But the challenge is getting the greater American populace to awaken to the factual reality that this is happening around them, that their key institutions are corrupted, and that their idols, their public figures that have been idolized before them by a corrupt news media, are all in concert together to present them a false culture. And most of the public figures are wicked. And the Epstein files is already revealing that. And, you know, back to the files, the Pentagon type friend of mine, high level access, He said, Craig, you got to realize this first 3 million documents, it's only about 8.5% of the files. So there's a lot there, and we're only seeing a small percentage of it. And what I'm seeing of the percentage that is out there, it's mostly Gmail, it's mostly emails. Well, okay, let's imagine you and I were suddenly hardcore criminals. Are you, Randy, going to send me detailed email about all the crimes that you're committing?
No.
Because email is so utterly secure. Okay, so neither are they. We're all adults here, right? I doubt there's any toddlers watching the show, you know. And you know, Randy's so cool. Or some man, so cool. So we're adults here. We're reasonable, rational people. And we realize they're not going to say all of the gory details, most of the incriminating details on email. What you do see them doing is making hints and suggestions to bounce to more secure platforms upon which they communicate, or private meetings at which they communicate about what their real plans are and the real details, right? And then you see language about food products that don't make any sense as presented. They don't make any sense until you put them up against a code for child trafficking, then they do make sense. And that's all been exposed long ago, and it's coming out, and people are using that to comprehend what they're reading in the Epstein file. So I celebrate the release of that, but folks, we need a leader who is going to first purge the DOJ of its deep corruption and the FBI and the CIA, and then turn those agencies, mainly the DOJ and FBI, against the rest of the swamp to drain the rest of the rancid swamp in DC and the rest of the country, so that we can return to legitimacy and justice. But we don't have that. And so I've shared with you guys before, I've got a plan on how to purge any agency of its corruption.
Really?
And I've been urging everybody around Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, while Dan was still in, for a meeting so that I could present this plan to them. And nobody's been interested. Nobody wanted to hear it. And all the people that have said that they could get me that personal meeting never happened. And so the plan that I'd presented to different admirals and generals and directors of different agencies is saying, am I just imagining it, or is this plan that I learned from the inside of federal law enforcement actually going to work? And they said it would absolutely work, Craig, but good luck finding someone with the moral courage to carry it out. So
Yeah,
when Donald
format the
Trump
plan.
got in, I thought, ah, he's got the moral courage to do it. And leading up to the election, nobody could be bothered with it. Afterward, nobody can still be bothered. It's been a year. They haven't arrested hardly anybody in the DOJ and FBI to purge those agencies to get them back online. So I've lost faith that that's going to happen. It's going to run out of time at this
Have
point.
you
They would have
sent?
needed to do that early on and get at it. There's a lot of investigations, a lot of prosecutions to get through before the next election. And so with all the rancid globalist Luciferian pedophile crime network left on the battlefield making war against we the people here in the continental United States, well, whenever Donald Trump's out of office, they're just going to continue steamrolling us with a vengeance. And so I'm very sick
At
and very disappointed.
record
Oh
speed,
yeah, well,
that
completely
vengeance will
unbridled at
be,
that point.
yes, sir. That
Yeah,
and I and Craig,
you'd probably be,
I
yeah.
dread that day, my friend.
You'd probably be better off moving to communist China.
Have you ever sent it directly to the president?
I've never met him. I've been to
But I mean,
events at his place, but I've never
sent.
met the man personally.
You ever sent mail, snail mail, directly to him?
I
That
haven't.
might, no, that'd be interesting. I just as a thought.
Maybe I'll do it.
Yeah,
Just to have it on record. Yes, sir.
hey.
Doug Hagman.
Thank you for coming, and Randy, thanks for opening the program.
Right on, brother.
If we can talk perhaps tomorrow after the show, or so tomorrow would be best. I think you have an engagement tonight. Let me help you with that.
Okay.
I'll hook you up. And thank you so much for being here. Randy, thanks for opening. I just want to remind everyone, folks, support Craig Sawyer's efforts. Craig Sawyer at Real Craig Sawyer on X. Also, he's the founder of Vets for Child Rescue. That's the number 4 childrescue.org. And he's the producer of Contraland movie. Contraland movie. ContralandMovie.com, I think, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So having said that, and Randy, look, I feel like I can just sit back here and listen. And I love
listening to Craig, man. This guy is awesome.
Well, okay.
One of my heroes, and you know I don't have many.
Let me ask you, absolutely. And by the way, I came across a photograph, Craig, of it was you, me, Eric the Tech, and some other individuals in Ohio.
I saw that photo.
It was some training actually with weapons. Craig, I don't know if you remember this, but of course, assume that stance to fire a weapon. And then Craig came up and said, okay, you know, if you're standing right, I can't push you over. Okay. And as you mentioned, RT, as you mentioned, Craig's got his biceps are like, you know, yeah. You know, like a rhino's. Yeah, it didn't take much.
That's one fight I talked my way out of.
I got to tell you, all he had to do is look at me and like, and boom, I'm down. Okay. But no. But anyway, folks, Craig is doing such a great job. And Craig, I admire you so much, and I know RT does as well, for all of your efforts. And I want to thank you. But guys, carry on, because I'm still working on some. Okay. I'm still working on some issues here.
It's good to see you there, Doug.
It's good to be seen. And I can't see me, but I'll take your word for it.
I don't know, this awesome investigative presence of Doug Hagman. I just look at him. I'm like, this guy knows what's up.
That's and you know what, RT and Craig, I just, with so many people talking about the Epstein files. Okay. So there's, to me, this is not enough. Craig, with what you said, no prosecutions is pointless. Yeah. So we've got to get a clean house in the judicial law site. I mean, all of this. So, but again, carry on. Don't let me interrupt you. I'm going to sit back and listen.
Thank you, sir. Well, to that, I'll say we've got a commander in chief who everybody that I know voted him into office because he told Hillary, because you'd be in jail, when she said, well, it's just very good that you're not president. He said, because you'd be in jail. He got cheered almost out of the stadium. People were like, yes, that. And that's never happened.
Yeah, and that's what we voted for.
And we're like, what planet are we on? What's happening here? And so when he said, we really should just move on from the Epstein files and from that case, that showed me that he's either completely tone deaf to what's going on. He's either so isolated and insulated from factual reality in the United States, or he's complicit. I mean, I don't see any other explanation from that. I've been trying to support him, and I've been very hopeful. I cheer when he does good things, but I don't know why, for the life of me, he thinks it would be okay to utter the words to the American public, oh, that I really wish we would just move on. I mean, that just shows me, like, this guy is not who we thought he was. He's not in the space that we gave him credit for occupying. And I don't care how thorough, how careful you're being, there would have been some arrests by now of, you know, Soros, Gates, Fauci, Comey, McCabe, Strzok, you know. I could go on all night about the ones that we see committing the crimes against the American people, even crimes against humanity. Yet nothing's done. So it goes back to George Carlin saying, it's a big club and you ain't in it.
That's right.
We hate that. We abhor that two-tier layer of justice. Why on earth will we pay taxes to a system that doesn't serve us?
I don't know.
We can't trust.
I don't know. We're getting feedback from something. You hear it?
Let me. I could be. That could be.
Okay.
Try it now.
Okay, we're clear. Yeah.
That was it.
Doug, Craig, did you bring some stuff with you tonight, buddy?
I brought some, I think I sent in quite a few items.
Okay. If you want, I know you had a couple videos. If there's anything you want to play.
Some of the arrest videos, there's whatever, if Eric, whatever he pulls up, whatever he feels inspired by first, I'd be happy to talk about.
Right on.
It doesn't really matter for me as far as sequence. Now,
do you set up the sting operations like you see on TV?
We used to do it like that in a house or another location, bring the predator inside, because we're a nonprofit org. We can question the guy ad nauseum. We don't have to Mirandize.
Okay.
And so, you know, sometimes it's helpful to do that, to allow him to express everything that he's there to do. But really now we have all that before he even gets there. So we just pick a spot that we like with our law enforcement allies. We all strategize together where the home field advantage of where the arrest teams really want to do their work. Mm-hmm. And that's where we plan it from.
And what I always find alarming when you have the cop shows when they're doing it, when they search the guy's cars and they find, you know, tape and rope and things that you just wouldn't normally
Since the last time I think you and I spoke, there was a guy that showed up with diapers and a stun gun and duct tape.
But
you know, of course he's got sex lube and condoms and, you know, Viagra, but you're like, man, that's a dark list of items you got in that.
Oh yeah.
And the guy, he was coming after my daughter, by the way.
Ooh, buddy.
So
let me say something. You're a bigger man than me in the way you handled that with your daughter. I respect you no end, because I would be doing time.
Yeah.
I'm serious, my friend.
Yeah.
And I respect you, like I said, are a bigger man than me. And I'll say that openly on the air, brother.
Well, thank you. I mean, I appreciate that. But, you know, if you look at it from my perspective, use of force, man, I'm used to. I started off in the Marines, so then I went to SEAL Team 1, then I went to a dev group. Mm-hmm. And the training, as far as shoot, no shoot, and target identification, threat recognition, and shot placement, man, if you can't burst into a room with all manner of distraction and flashing lights and you know, guys in red men suits beating you down and smoke and gas and other distractions and flashbangs and everything else, and pick out who needs to be instantly eliminated and who needs to be spared like that, then you're usually not useful at that level. So there's a lot of training that really, really helps you get good at applying force where it's needed and not where it's not. Cause if you and I are a team, we're going to go rescue the ambassador's wife's halfway around the world. It'd be no good if one of us shot the ambassador's wife.
Yeah,
because we are a little bit excited or angry, right? Oh, exactly. I thought she was a bad guy.
Oops.
So yeah. So the self-discipline has to be very, very high at that level. So having been the recipient and the beneficiary of that extensive a training, you know, I look at the Vets for Child Rescue mission as a long-term cultural influence mission, where we expose the evil and we inspire the American populace, 340 million Americans, to stand up and reject that evil and turn against it in unison. I can't do that, Randy, if I satisfy my anger. If I run over there and give a bad guy what I feel like he deserves, then am I going to get to do that again tomorrow? Nope.
No, that's a good point.
You know, saw man catches a pedophile on fire and puts him out with an ice pick or whatever, whatever people imagine that I would do. If I ever did that, I wouldn't get that to be that'd be the end of it. I couldn't continue the mission. And so I do it the professional way, because that's how I was trained and that's how I believe. It doesn't mean that I don't feel things.
Oh, I respect you. Like I said, I don't think I could do it, Craig. I could do the phone and the computer part, but being in the room with them, I just lose my mind.
What I did not expect, in all honesty, is to feel any compassion for the predators, because, and sometimes I do, not saying that I condone their behavior in any way.
As a Christian, you have that compassion. Yeah,
more, I'm talking about on a higher level. As I grow spiritually, I look at their families and I feel for their family. I'm like, oh my God, he's got a wife and some kids at home. Who's going to provide for them now? And if we don't prosecute him, he's going to rape his own children and his neighbor's children and whoever else he gets access to until somebody stops him. Thank God we caught him now. And I've had two wives call me and thank me personally for putting their husbands away. I did not expect that. That was a genuine shock to me. And I had to process that a little bit. Wow. And I'll tell you, the hardest thing, though, is listening to the survivors, Randy, explain to me decades after their childhood trauma from satanic ritual abuse.
Yeah.
What they were put through. And they're not agonizing through it. They're not trying to pull on my heartstrings to get me to feel sorry for them. Some of these people are quite amazingly well healed. Some of them highly educated professionals and different capacities now. I've been through a lot of therapy, spiritual healing, and they can tell you matter-of-factly, like they could almost in a court of law, what they went through and what it was like for them. Man, that tears my guts out. That wrecks me. And it wrecks other. We've had camera people, entire crews stop and just wipe in their eyes and have to walk outside and process and just.
It's got to tug at your heart.
People praying over each other and going, you okay? You know, because a lot of the people that come that help in different capacities in our org are survivors of childhood abuse of one type or another. And that's why they care. I don't know why I care. I just know that God gave me a burden. It's always, as soon as I learned about it, it pained me and it felt like an assault on my homeland. That child trafficking, that Houston, Texas was the hottest epicenter of child trafficking. That's where I grew up, just on the north side, just north of Houston. And I just couldn't coexist with it. So I think that's how God gave me my marching orders. Like, hey, this is your war, son. This is why you exist.
Yeah, he put the burden.
This is why there's
heart,
a saw man who's not afraid of much of anything.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's what I dug into. I'm not afraid of the bad guys. I'm not afraid of the wicked fallen angels that they serve and the demons that I see coming out of people, and that some of the guys that we share mutual friends that do a lot of demonic deliverance. That's real, folks.
And I think people don't understand that side of what you're involved in, how much of the satanic influence is involved in child sex trafficking.
Yeah.
I don't think folks grasp that, Greg.
Well, it's eliminated from our culture. You're certainly not going to hear about it on the news.
You know, they just think, it's a pervert. He's just a pervert.
Yeah.
It's more than that.
Mutual friend of Doug's and mine, Russ Dizdar, rest his soul. He's passed away now, but he used to help law enforcement understand what they were dealing with when they would have a case that involved someone with a split multiple personality.
Right.
Who was a Satanist or survivor of satanic ritual abuse. Russ had become an expert at that. And so he was helping law enforcement in you guys' area there and across the country. So I learned a lot from him. And then now from his team, I continue to learn from those guys, fantastic brothers. And so no wonder the populace doesn't know about it, because it's kept from them. Even law enforcement, if they walk into a murder suspect's house and they see a shrine of bones, they don't know what it means. They're like, this guy's a weirdo. He eats people, or he has body parts, you know, stashed around the house. He's just psycho. Well, yeah, he's psycho, but what's his motive?
How does he function?
What makes him tick? Well, Russ was able to help them understand, like, hey, this guy's probably a split multiple. If you interview him, he's genuinely probably not going to be able to remember anything that he did, because it was another part, personality part, another persona that he can't connect to willingly. He doesn't even know it exists, but a practitioner can literally in a session, if they know what makes this guy tick, cause him to switch personalities until they find the personality that did the crime, and then interview that personality, same body, and interview that and start to find out what happened. A lot of these people are complete psychopaths, beyond sociopath or psychopath. They'll tell you exactly what they did. Oh yeah, I tortured her, and then I raped her, and then I killed her, and then I ate her. And here's how I did it. There's no remorse, right? So if you have a personality type like that, you can learn a lot from them. Once they know they're caught, they're not going to get away. So yeah, you have to know what you're dealing with, and that's not taught to us. I mean, I didn't know about, I knew about demonic possession because I'd seen my father as a strong man of God and pastor of a church growing up just north of Houston, Texas. Once in a while, somebody would show up at our church demonically influenced, and they're acting all weird and strange. And my father was not afraid at all. He knew his power and authority from the Creator. And he would go and just in love, and he would deal with the people, and he would cast the demons out of them, and all the crazy screaming and all the weird stuff they were doing stopped. They would calm down and they were fine. And they would hug him, and they were fine forevermore after that.
What a great role model.
And like they would go from this complete slobbering psychopath, doing all kind of like poltergeist, you know, exorcist stuff, to just a sweet little old lady again, you know, whoever they were, hugging my dad and thanking him. And then they're fine for all the years that I'd seen him after that. I just thought, wow. So I knew that the spirit world was very real. I'd seen the manifestation of, and I'd seen people healed, beautifully healed of all kinds of things. Miraculous things that the doctor's like, that doesn't happen.
That's awesome. World,
you know? So I knew that, but unless you'd seen that, I can't blame people for not knowing and not understanding the spiritual aspect. But going back to the files, the Epstein files, why are all these people doing this? Why are they having all of these parties? And it's not that there's any special sexual gratification they can get from a child.
Right.
So you have to realize it is spiritual. These people are Luciferians. They are Satanists. They are in a club. And that's the club that they have to be in to get the wealth and power.
Right.
Just the same thing with the Diddy parties. You've got Epstein and Maxwell. They were targeting people for intel collection and blackmail for the intelligence communities and crime networks. Well, the Diddy parties in the entertainment industry, same thing. Right. Highly demonic, though, with Diddy. Let's say you're a young rap star and you want an album and a tour, and well, they can give you that, but you're gonna allow them to film you being raped and
humiliated yourself,
and you're gonna do that. They're gonna make you do the same thing to little boys on video, and that's their guarantee that you're not gonna squeal on them, and that's their guarantee that they can control you. And so it's very good for people to look up that Diddy video where he's all full of bravado, going, you don't own anything. We're like, we say who makes it. We say who's big. We decide. And it's this very machismo, chest bone, like, we got the power. We make you. We break you. That's demonic.
Yeah.
That's a dominion type of spirit. And that's why they're doing that to these targeted individuals. Now, this young rap star, or whoever the aspiring targeted individual is going in the entertainment industry, this is done to them, not just for financial gain, but for spiritual power. So the demonic realm, they want that dominion. They want that soul forever. And they celebrate the fact that that young aspiring star that wants to be on the big screen or wants the concerts or tour will do, the ones that'll do anything to get it, because they don't have enough gratification from, you know, mommy and daddy don't love them or whatever.
Right.
If they're empty and they need that, then they'll sell their souls into this. And then those that the practitioners, the abusers celebrate, like your soul is going to hell and you will never even know that you have the opportunity to escape spiritually. So it's about financial dominion over that person and control to continue to take the bulk of their revenue from their career. But spiritually is even darker and more heinous. That soul is meant to be doomed to hell with no even hope of rescue. And what King Jesus wants everybody to know is that there's absolute rescue. There's no such thing as over. There is no such thing as owned. Every soul can walk away and walk to your creator because it's all his. He created every living being in any dimension. There's nothing that's ever been created that he did not create. And he has only love and wants only good things for his children. Right. So if anybody within the sound of my voice or hears this broadcast, if someone has blackmail over you, And you feel like there's no hope, it's a lie, and it's from the pit of hell, and you can walk away. Do it intelligently, but your soul can be freed, and you can still go to heaven and live with your Savior forever and ever. Amen.
And that's a good message to get out there, brother.
Yes, sir.
Well, a lot of people, we as a country, we pump so much money into this entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we feed these monsters, and that's the part that gets in my head is that we feed these monsters. Our kids listen to their music, you know, and
look at Rock Nation and some of these that like buy up the Super Bowl halftime and you know that there's never, ever going to be anything wholesome.
No.
Or pro-American.
It's exactly.
Always going to be anti-American. It's always going to be depraved. It's always going to demoralize, to destabilize our population. It's literally run by enemies of the American people spiritually, if not completely politically too. Yeah. So it's part of the fifth generation warfare to demoralize and destabilize the American public for the whole easy overthrow.
The Super Bowl is a disappointment. I mean, it looked like they had the gay colors on the field.
Yeah.
Unless I'm mistaken.
No, that's how I saw it, too.
But that's how
I saw
it.
Welcome to Fisco.
Yeah, and I don't know what that creature, Bad Bunny, somebody said that we really need to look at the lyrics.
Yeah, I've read some of that, and people are saying it's so depraved that there would be FCC, Federal Communication Commission,
yes,
I believe, sanctions against them, our penalties. And I've heard today that there's going to be a lawsuit
for
that level of betrayal of public trust because they slipped it in because they did it in a foreign language.
Right.
And a guy that was, you know, rough with his language, so even Spanish speakers couldn't really understand him. But once they've slowed it down and started breaking it down, they're like, oh, man, what he was saying is not okay.
Yeah, that's what I haven't gone back and read it yet, but that's what I heard. And just the whole thing, like you said, was anti-American. It was geared for, you know, the Hispanic culture. No, that didn't have anything to do with the typical family watching the Super Bowl.
Right.
Well, that's the way I felt.
Well, I heard even a lot of Spanish speakers couldn't understand him.
Yeah,
so I don't know what they thought they're doing other than, you know, you always have to be from somewhere else to be okay anymore. Otherwise, the mainstream programmers are just going to call you some sort of ist, right? You have to be tolerant of every level of manner of perversion or depravity. And if you don't like the dysfunction that they're issuing to us, that they're forcing upon us, then you have some sort of phobia or or hatred. And it's a lie. It's straight from the pit of hell. Satan is the accuser. He's the great accuser.
One thing I did like is a couple of the Seattle Seahawks afterwards, when they were interviewing, did thank God. Two or three of them. They very openly thank God, you know, for all their success. And then that was refreshing after watching the halftime show. That
Oh, nice. Yeah.
You know, we have some Christians that play football.
I watched the first part of the football game, and then we switched at halftime to Kid Rock's alternate entertainment. And, you know, a lot of people didn't understand at first. He came out as Kid Rock with his You know, heavy gangbanger punk, old South, you know, rap, you know, hookers and blow kind of rock and roll music.
Yeah.
And then they reintroduced him. They introduced him as Kid Rock first in the same old thing, you know. And then they reintroduced him and he was humble. And he was standing there with a baseball cap and an acoustic guitar. And he was singing a song about second chances. Mm-hmm. And he started singing about Jesus and reading the Bible. And whoo, the lost on the left went nuts. Yeah. There, first of all, never mind that you had to turn off the Super Bowl and go over to YouTube and find this alternate escape right. from what was issued, what was forced upon us with this filthy bunny depravity, right? So, you know, the people, I celebrated that. I said, hey, look at this quick little clip of Robert Ritchie is his name. He went from Kid Rock in one entertainment segment from his old rock self to this, and he's showing his spiritual transition. He's running to Jesus, and he's improving, and he's recommending other people do. Well, two groups against him. All of the left, everybody that hates Jesus, all the political left, and then two, a lot of self-righteous, overly judgmental Christians. Oh, he's not a good enough Christian. He can't speak or sing about Jesus, and they're condemning him. I'm like,
I know.
If he's not against us, he's for us, folks. He's learning and trying and growing. Why would you be a gatekeeper trying to stop him from getting to Jesus instead of being a tour guide or a welcoming committee saying, yes, please go to Jesus. Please come to Jesus. He mm-hmm. loves you and it's good. So I rebuke some people for that on my public figure Facebook page because I was like, man, that's not what we're supposed to do, man. No. We're supposed to help people, not stop them. Not get your Jesus and then burn the bridge behind you so no one else gets to Jesus. Yeah. That's not the heart that the Father showed us.
Well, absolutely. And I remember a discussion with a friend of mine, and he was talking about at his church, because this guy was a lawyer and he decided he was going to defend a criminal, and it was a very famous case in Orlando. And they asked him to leave the church. And I looked at him, I said, what? He goes, well, we don't want that kind of person in the church. I said, that's exactly the person that needs to be in the church.
Exactly. It's like a hospital.
Thank you. You don't kick them out. Man, you welcome them. You work with them. And I remember growing up in Baptist churches, that happened many times where they had this idea of who they wanted in the church, and they would actually ask people to leave. And I never understood that.
Yeah. Well, who did Yeshua hang out with and talk to?
Thank you.
He didn't become like them.
Yeah.
He inspired them to become like him. But he went to the prostitutes and the lepers all of it.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. That's the job, man.
Yes, sir. That's the calling. I don't know what people think they're doing, what Yeshua they think they're following, but it's...
I don't know, Craig.
You can't read the New Testament and then think that this overly judgmental, self-righteous Pharisee-type persona is okay anywhere. Yeah,
because it's not. And that's what runs people off from churches. Quite often, it scares people away from Christianity.
I run into it every day.
And I got news for you. If that happens and they walk away and don't come back, their blood is on your hands.
Yes. Yes.
God is holding you responsible. I've got news for you. Their blood is on your hands. Know that.
Yeah. And that's been written in scripture too.
Thank you.
So, let it never be.
You got it, brother. Let it never be. And if it's sinners you end up with, then by golly, that's who you testify to. That's how it works.
Man, I've had so many people pray over me and bless me, and I've gotten to do it for others. And man, the more I grow and the more I give to those in need and my brothers and sisters around me, the more the Father blesses me. And I've seen healings and all kinds of lives changed and turned around. Man, this last 3 years of my life has really been a pursuit to Yeshua like never before in my life. So we're our org and mission, we're praying for King Jesus's direction in real time. And we're putting drones up and we're putting trail cams up and we're interviewing people and we're going doing surveillance and all kinds of things that we're doing. We're praying out loud to King Jesus and asking him to guide us and provide favor, provide access. And he is. We're looking at each other throughout the day going, what, can you believe this just happened? And we're like, we're starting to understand, to expect the impossible to happen because we're serving the one who spoke all the planets into existence, all the beings into existence. It's his world. He wants the children defended. He wants the evil exposed. Yeah. We're serving him. So he's gonna make things happen. He's gonna help. And so we're doing the hard work, grinding it out in the physical sense, and then whenever there's gaps or we need to find the right witness or gain the right information, it just seems to start to happen now. And we're just, it's intense. It's beautiful.
And gentlemen, it's humbling. If I can interject one thing, Craig, you sent some pictures, including a media release and some photographs. I think people would appreciate that.
Absolutely. No.
I think people would appreciate seeing, because what Craig does, I mean, he is the full deal. These pictures really tell the story. So, Eric the Tech, if you don't mind, and again, forgive me for intruding on the interview because I'm fascinated.
Yeah, I thought we were going to that earlier and I didn't see it.
So we just got off course there, brother.
But I'll tell you what, Craig and his group, very formidable. And I thank him for doing everything that, that he does. And, you know, folks, I'll just say this, please support what he's doing, get behind him, and because he's out there fighting the fight. He would be like the most unwelcome ICE agent in a room full of legacy media. I'm telling you, but you get the idea. But so Eric the Tech, if you could throw you can go to any, really, I went through the images, any image that he sent, and Craig can certainly narrate.
One up there, and that's a media release by the chief of police there at Freer, Texas. And those are just three of the predators that came for children. And that's actually our most recent op. So that was 2 weeks ago. And we ran one a couple weeks before that. In another town in Texas, and then before that, northern Idaho, and then we ran another one in Texas before that, and then before that was Tennessee, and then, you know, it goes all over the country from there. So we're grateful for these operations. These are the four that you see there are from the Idaho op. So, you know, and these all start by us meeting a DA, a district attorney, who is a good person and will prosecute in good faith with the factual evidence that if the predator has committed the crime, has exceeded the elements of the crime of pursuing sex with children online and exceeded all the elements of the crime, they will prosecute. So we start a relationship with them. We bring our intel team, the chatters that do the conversations with the predators online, and find out what the predator wants, and let's the predator come and express everything that they want to do to a small child. What age child do they want to do it to? What all do they want to do? Where do they want to do it? All that. Bring all the stuff to do this things to the kid, all of it. And then we do that. Then we let them come and we let them get arrested and go to jail and think about what they're doing.
There's got to be a certain rush to that, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, anybody, because it's life-changing for them, you know? And so there are some of them get pretty cagey. There's a lot of them that are repeat offenders that our intelligence team allows us to capture because they're like I said, they're pretty sketchy, some of these predators, and they know what they're doing is wrong, and they know that who they're talking to out there online could be law enforcement. So they're really, really trying to be vague and try to get what they're after without saying it and not get caught. And we'll see the same predators on multiple operations. Oh, this is a guy that came or was wanting to come for a child in another state or a previous op in this state from another county. And so they're online all the time pursuing children. It's just that they're not getting caught because people aren't running the operations. So we encourage anybody, if you want to learn to do this in law enforcement, reach out to us. We train a lot of law enforcement to help do this. We want this going on all across the country so that the predators can't go anywhere without getting caught. So
good.
That image right there is some of our tactical team, some of our intel guys, and it's from a recent op down in Texas there. And you know, we just sometimes we take some pictures just to show what we're doing. That's some of our law enforcement allies and some of the arrest sequences. And we put some of these pics together of us and to put up on social media, just so people can kind of see a little bit behind the curtain and not to give too much away, to just let them feel like they're part of the team and understanding and seeing a little bit of what we see. There's me riding along to and from the takedowns with our law enforcement allies. It's the front seat of a law enforcement vehicle in Texas, a police department or sheriff's deputy truck. So we kid up, we ride with them, and there's some of our crew, one of our chatters, and a camera crew, a guy. We have a couple camera people, and everybody wears body armor, and you know, film the arrest sequences and all that, and with drones and all that kind of thing. Some of our law enforcement allies there. Between arrests, where we were right there, we just came back from making another arrest, and the chatters are talking to another predator. He's about to come in, so that's, it was a cold night there. So you see, some of the people are still pretty bundled up.
But, where are you? What part of the country are you guys based out of?
Well, mostly Texas. I'm in Arizona.
Okay, without being
they won't prosecute here, so we don't. I mean, we run federal law enforcement ops here in Arizona, but as far as state goes, it's weak on prosecution.
Wow.
You see a big national case right now looking at an abduction case where news media figure's mom was abducted from her house and all that. And, you know, the sheriff's getting exposed as not being a very good sheriff.
If I can chime in, folks are talking
about it.
He's talking about the Savannah Guthrie, her mother. And Craig, in all my years of experience, too many to count, I've never seen a crime scene that was, you know, they cut the tape and then they put the tape back up and then they cut the and it goes back up again. I mean, what in the heck is going on with that? You don't have to go to, you know, investigate detective school to understand something's wrong. I mean, is that incompetence? Or, and if you, to me, this was never like a kidnapping. Maybe it was. I don't know. What do you make of all that, sir?
You know, I haven't been following it too closely. My wife knows the a reporter to some degree. And so she's letting me know what she's watching of it, but I've got my head down, elbows up, involved in our own investigations. So I'm only hearing bits and pieces of it, but I do know the Pima County Sheriff's got a horrible reputation here as a cartel sheriff. He's
Craig,
a lot of people feel like he's owned and run by the cartel. Go ahead.
Plug your website so people know where to find you.
V4CR. So Victor, V as in Victor, C as in Charlie. The number four, oh, no, V4CR.
So that's Victor for Child Rescue.
Yeah. So cool. We appreciate anybody going there. We've got, you know, the rest that we have on our rest page. We put that there. Our board of advisors, board of directors, a secure donate page. You know, these ops, whenever we go somewhere, we're taking about 15 people for about a week. So what does it take to fly that 15 people to from one state to another, and house them and feed them and provide gas and rental cars or whatever you need to run these things for a week. Just that's what one op costs. So about 15 or 20 grand. You know, we do it as wisely and efficiently as we can, as intelligently as we can. But it just, you know, we've got the opportunity to run a lot of these ops now. So every predator we get off the streets represents a list of children that that predator will not get to harm.
Absolutely.
Or be in prison instead of on the streets. So we appreciate everybody donating and helping us and supporting us and pray. And it is important. People, like you were pointing out earlier, American people don't know about the spirituality. Man, yeah. Pray for their children, because there is unspeakable harm happening 24/7 out there. It has to be broken. It has to be exposed so we can do something about it.
And pray for your law enforcement.
Yes,
so that God puts the burden on their hearts to do this. It's important. And prayer can do it. God, there's the power of prayer. Don't underestimate the power of prayer. I've seen it literally move mountains. And ladies and gentlemen, our law enforcement has to have that burden on their heart to protect these children.
You know, folks, please, the link to Craig Sawyer's website is, especially the donate, go to the donate page, but the link is going to be all across. I'll put it on all of our video audio platforms. Okay, please. I, if you do nothing else, look, support his efforts, because I do know that, first of all, he's fighting monsters. He's organizing teams and he's out there taking down bad people. And you know what? He's got a boatload of grief for it. And it's interesting because, you know, I watched him weather through some really rough times, but he's always come out because of his strong faith, unshakable faith. And he's come out victorious, and I really appreciate him. And Craig, look, man, you know, we don't want to necessarily, I know you didn't bring a sleeping bag with you, but I just want to say it from the bottom of my heart. I want to thank you for everything you've done, for us in terms of showing us, teaching us and being there for us, to fight this evil. And it's truly evil. And I think people are waking up, you know, with these Epstein files to some extent, but not even close to the stuff you've seen. And you know what? You can't unsee that. So I want to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Well, Doug, I feel the same about you, sir. I mean, I've got a deep appreciation of you. And it's a privilege to be on and be able to talk about these things and empower people. And I think you're right. People are awakening with the Epstein files, but only those who are bothering to read through them or watching content of people that have read them are having intelligent, educated discussions about, or experienced discussions about what's in the files. Yeah. I've gone to a couple events recently where some of the people weren't able to enter into the conversation with others because they haven't even heard of the Epstein files, and they probably don't care. And they don't know what's going on in the nation. They don't know not to watch Bad Bunny or who's issuing them that dark, anti-American, subversive entertainment, or why it would be bad. Like, they no clue.
And they don't know that the leftist media is running cover for these clowns.
Yeah, they're like the child that just goes walking into the back of the creepy rape van for a free candy. Hey, look, free candy. Just, you know. They'll walk straight to communism and turn in their constitution for a free cell phone. Hey, look, it's free. So that's painful to see that still exists to that degree. But I agree with you, Doug, that I think there is an awakening. I think now's the ordained, predetermined time when the Father, when God Almighty means for people to see. And I think the spiritual veil is kind of being lifted, not kind of, I think it is definitely deliberately being lifted so that people can start to see the level of deceit about our history, about our public figures, about our institutions, and what really has been going on the whole time, and realize, oh my God, why that level of deception? Well, it's because there's a huge spiritual war between the forces of good and evil going on. It's always been going on. And we've been living this lie like the Wizard of Oz, you know, not realizing what's behind the curtain. We've been living a fairy tale.
Yeah.
So I think it's a painful awakening for a lot of us, but it's necessary. Knowledge is power. You can't choose and act in your own best interest until you understand the truth. So now, cool. You know, if you know the truth, then you can vote in your own best interest. You can buy the products and take care of yourself. You can improve your health and your security and your joy if you know the truth. Otherwise, you're eating toxic food and getting lied to and ripped off, and you got no money, and you're, you know, isolated and you're depressed. You don't know why, because you've been worked by a corrupt system. So yeah. I celebrate that it's happening, you know, that the veil is lifting, that painful as it may be for a moment, you know, once we adjust and get our footing and catch our breath, go, okay, well, being that the game board is the way that it is, how do I not only survive, but succeed and thrive through this? How now can I serve my King Jesus in this situation? If Rome is going to be burning, if our constitutional republic is going to start unraveling under all this evil, well, I say, well, then how am I going to serve King Jesus during that? So now I look at it like almost like a paramedic. I'll go around helping lead people to Jesus Christ. I'll go around rescuing children from predators. I'll go around taking the abusers and wrapping them on the beak and putting them in prison. I'll go around doing the good work because that's what God Almighty created me to be. That's the burden He put on my heart to give, and that feels good for me. That feels good.
Yeah, I'm glad you're saying that, because a lot of people are out there and they don't know what to do, Kirk.
Yeah.
They don't tell know you what
they're not, they're not to do fear.
Yeah.
They're not to fear. Yeah. When you realize all of the fallen ones, you see the wealth and the power, and it looks like they own everything. Well, they kind of do.
Yeah.
But Satan is a small g god of this world, but that's only temporary. But even he and all of his fallen angels, the biggest principalities and the most powerful spiritual entities on the wicked side, they were all spoken into existence by God Almighty. He can blink them back out of existence. They can't do anything that he doesn't allow them to do for our long-term knowledge and education. So realize he's not for us. I mean, that the challenges are not against us. Yeah, the fallen and the wicked are very much against us. But the challenge is we have to look at them as opportunities. We're going to navigate these challenges, health challenges, relationship challenges, financial challenges, national challenges, more gracefully and in love, more love, and in a greater, stronger faith than we would have yesterday or the year before. That's the cool. journey. That's the walk. Right. That's what he wants us to do. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm a warrior of the Most High King. I walk under his wing. I am here to crush evil. I'm not here to fear it. Right. And so it's not my power, but his. The creator of everything that has ever been created, that I walk and speak and breathe and have my being. So when you tune into him and you draw close to him like that, then you're allowed to be part of the solution. You're allowed to be a part of his will, part of his army. Man, I'd rather be a shoeshine boy in King Jesus's army than be a general in Satan's army here, living in mansions and having hookers and blow and going to live in utter torture and agony for all of eternity in hell. Right?
Amen. So everything's Amen, a choice. Brother. Amen.
Everything's a choice.
Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, if that wasn't a motivational speech, then I don't know what to tell you. That should have you all pumped up. And Craig, the stuff you sent earlier before the show, that's cool if I can use that on X.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Everything you've
I'll send it out to my 12 followers.
You know, it doesn't matter how many followers it seems like that we have. Hey, Craig, I've seen this with you, RT especially, and my account. You know, when you've, like in my case, I know about 33,000 or whatever. However, you know, like 5 or 6 or 10 to actually see that, yeah. Which, and Craig, especially with when the subject is the harming of children, it's just amazing the censorship that there is behind it. Yeah. And
it's almost like there's algorithms set up for that.
Yeah.
Almost. No, no, you're 100% correct. And I appreciate you acknowledging that. You know, I had 130,000 followers like 6 or 8 years ago when and they deleted Trump's account and they deleted mine. Oh. And I've never been allowed to thrive or grow since then. So I think maybe I have 13,000 on this one, but I'm like you, Doug. I'll post things that I know my 13,000 followers want to see and that they support. And that's why they follow my page, but they're not allowed to see what I do. They're not allowed to see our arrests, our encouragement, our lessons. One person, maybe two people will see it and comment, and that's it. Yeah. And so that's on Elon Musk. Elon Musk is apparently against our arresting pedophiles and encouraging
send me a few videos. I'll put them up.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and certainly we will as well.
Absolutely.
But Craig, I want to thank you for your graciousness, your gift of time, my goodness. And I know, unless I'm mistaken, I don't think you were planning on staying this long, but I'm so glad you did.
He's got to prep for another engagement.
Yeah. Through my run up to the night's episode, I kind of saw that stuff. But I want to say thank you again, and we will talk. In fact, I will contact you tomorrow if that's all right, Craig.
Please do. I'll be hurt if you don't.
We'll talk another time too, man.
Okay, yeah, I appreciate that. I look forward to that, Randy.
Right on, brother.
Bless you both, man. I appreciate you gentlemen more than I know how to really state right now.
We thank you for being here tonight.
All right. Well, hopefully we've shared some things that will empower people and allow them to affect their lives through their will, their knowledge a little bit better than yesterday. So blessings. Thanks for having me on. We'll chat soon.
God bless, sir. Thank you very much.
Good night.
Good night. And folks, that was Craig Sawyer, Vets for Child Rescue. Follow Craig Sawyer on X at Real Craig Sawyer. Also, go to Vets for Child Rescue. The link will be at Hagman PI, at the Rumble, on the audio platforms. Vets for Child Rescue. I'm telling you what, he needs our support. And Randy Taylor, thank you so much for really bringing him in. And the interview was great.
That's cool. I really like him. I think he's an incredible individual. And I am pleased to know him. He's a fantastic Christian.
Yes.
And what he is doing for our children.
Yes.
I fully support that. Absolutely. I wish I was a rich man. I would finance his operation.
I'm going to tell you what. It costs. Having been on that side in the field, okay, for the field ops. Now, you had mentioned too your specialty, computer, the forensics, the infiltration, the surveillance on the online stuff, which now I'm doing that primarily, you know, as opposed to the field ops because, well, you know what, you get old, right? And, you know, things break easier than they used to. However, right up through, I guess it was last year, NARC, the tech knows this because, I mean, it's amazing to see how, for example, how Craig grabs the, you know, compiler, really makes up a team and then, obviously focus on a target and then takes down the target with law enforcement. All of this is not just time consuming, but my goodness, the manpower, the expense behind the equipment.
Oh yeah.
I'll tell you what,
just day-to-day operations, the expense, you know?
Yeah. So folks, and it's kind of funny because RT, I should explain this. On the run up to the reason I was late was apparently, okay, this my system updated and I could not work through that update, all right, because you know the software patches and stuff, right, for the broadcasting equipment and all that. So and Eric the tech is not on premise, so he's like, you know, God bless him for his patience. So that was a problem. But I do want to just say this, folks, real quick, the last couple of days, well, I love my dogs. I love my dog, especially Lady, the studio dog. She's 11 years, 7 months old today.
She's precious.
She is. All right. And some people have seen Lady, the studio dog. So she, for the past 3.5 years, 3 years or so, we've been treating her for Cushing's disease, pituitary cancer, Cushing's disease in canine and dogs. But she's a people to me. But anyway, something happened over the weekend and she took a turn, and come to find out, there's some really bad stuff going on. So the last couple of days I've been dealing with, get this, getting a blood transfusion for my dog. Okay. Now don't get me started. Okay. But, she rallied, because her, red blood cells and platelet counts, they bottomed out. And I thought it was like this Addisonian crisis, which is the opposite of Cushing's, but not that. So at the moment, it's kind of a rough time, okay, because she rallied. She's looking good, but I'm just not sure. We're not sure. The doctor, the vets aren't sure. So,
So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Would you please say a prayer for my friend and his pop?
Thank you.
Would you please do that? God listens to our prayers, okay? And I know both people say, well, it's just a dog. No, Lady's not just a dog. All right, believe me, I've seen Lady many times. I almost lost my hand to Lady the first time that I met Lady because I went to shake Doug's hand, and you don't touch her dad. Okay, I love that little dog. My family loves that little pup. Yeah. Okay, so please, ladies and gentlemen, just take a second and say a prayer for the dog.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
that. And a prayer for my buddy Doug.
Thanks.
When you lose a dog, it's like losing a family member.
She's looking. I mean, you know what? I'm optimistic, but who knows? Hey, she's been through it, and
They're a gift from God, Doug.
Yeah, they are.
They teach us things that people can't teach us. Unconditional love. Your dog teaches you that, and you don't realize it. Other humans don't teach that. Your dog will teach you that. Unconditional love. That is the most beautiful gift from God.
And you know, like you with Ranger and me with Lady. I mean, I can look at Lady. She can look at me. And I mean, our eyes meet. It's like we know what we're thinking. I know what she. And so dogs are definitely a gift from God. And look, you know what? I'm not going to drone on about that, but I'll just say it's been a little bit rough. And I'm trying to. It's just, you know, trying to with the transfusion and the vets and the medication and watching. Yeah. It's like, my goodness.
People just take a moment tonight. Right now would be good. Just take a moment and say a prayer for Doug and for Lady. Okay? For me. We do that. I'd appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. But Randy Taylor, again, thank you for the last thing I expected was to have technical problems. And I want to thank Eric for
the last thing your audience expected was me to open the show.
I could see you. It was great. I could see you. I could see Craig. I'm watching this all transpire. I'm hearing the back stuff. I just couldn't join. I couldn't be a part of that. I'm thinking, wow, you know, he's going to be fine.
I'll stumble my way through it.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. Right,
I love having him on. He's so easy to talk to, man.
Yeah.
He's just and so full of information, just incredible information, you know, that people just don't get a chance to hear enough.
Exactly. And you know, to his credit, the king of understatement in terms of the difference that he makes, because I've seen some of his, I've been there for some takedowns, and let me tell you something. Okay. It ain't pretty, and it's dangerous work. So what he does is so important, but
men like that are like us. Like when we went into the counterterrorism work, Doug, we always said, you and I said this so many times, if we save one person,
exactly,
then we've done our job.
Because the difference it makes to that one person.
That one person. Yeah. God makes it possible. And that's amazing. That's such an amazing feeling to know you saved a life.
You know, folks, in RT, I haven't spoken with you because of all the personal stuff going on, but let me ask you, have you gone through to any deep extent of the Epstein network, the emails, the stuff? Have you?
No, I've looked through some of it. My concern with the whole Epstein thing, and I posted this, okay, because of the leftist media.
Yeah.
And because of overblown conspiracy theories, okay, some are overblown. Some are very factual. Some are very well-based. But there's many out there that are overblown. A lot of people don't understand how to read the Epstein files. They just hear a name and go bananas.
Right.
It's not, if you were, and I need to I say this to people so they understand it. If you ever sent an email, this is anybody in the world, a financier, a banker, a head of state. You ever sent an email to Epstein, if he ever sent an email to you, if he sent an email to anybody else, say Ghislaine Maxwell, and mentioned your name, you are in the Epstein files.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is what people need to understand. It's like I had said before. Just because people got on a plane and flew to his island does not make them a pervert, because he was a financier. Many people flew on the thing. What the bad part is, and where criminality comes in, is what you did while you were on the island. Okay, because any man can go down there, play golf, and someone says, hey, I got this hot 17-year-old, what do you think? And he says, sorry, pal, I'm married. I'll be flying back to Miami Friday. You know what I'm saying? So you have to take that into consideration. It's hard. It's really hard to dump a lot of stuff out. I know that. And I only say this from a national security perspective. There's some things, and they all need to come out. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that for a second. Everybody needs to be exposed. They've got to be smart about how they do it. I'll offer that. Okay. And I only say that 100%. From studying the situation so much and looking at it and going, you know what? God, if they just dump this stuff out on the table, there would be chaos, because a lot of people don't know how to read a file. You know what I mean? They look for a name and run with that. Well, that don't necessarily mean anything.
You know? Exactly. Now, to address what you stated partially. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Now we have, by my calculation, based on my research, we've got about 55% of the documents known as the Epstein files published by the Department of Justice right now. Okay. That's about where we're at. I want you a couple of points I want you to think about. Think about Pam Bondi in that Bindergate, whatever that fiasco was. You remember that? Where you had a bunch of social media influencers who were saying, you know, the files are on my desk. And
oh, yeah. That's when they handed out the notebooks. And
right.
Yeah, I remember that. What a fiasco. Okay.
So, yeah.
What an embarrassment. That's an embarrassment.
Did she lie? I mean, or is she in over her head? But regardless, okay, so there were a lot of social media influencers that fell for that. And RT, it's amazing because most of those social influencers, I'm not going to name them, but if you look at, if you find a picture of that Bindergate picture, you know, they pay for their post promotions and they miscarry. A lot of them some mischaracterize what's really going on. And let me tell you the bottom line up front here on this, what I found. Epstein, in addition to being the conduit for, we're really like the bag man of money, yeah, for to fund different things. Okay. He was also a pervert, and he was also engaged, and a lot of people are missing this, in genetic research.
Yes.
Okay.
And paying women to have babies.
Correct.
Young girls to have babies. Let me rephrase that.
Yes. But
and this has just showed up recently.
Well, right. But if you take it a step further, in addition to that, he did bring scientists. He did bring, for example, Bill Gates. Okay. The genetic research also got into an offensive weapon as well. So you may say, well, wait a second. I'm not seeing that or hearing about that on in the media or social influencers, these people that are reviewing the files. Well, that's because either A, they don't know where to look, or B, they're intentionally not mentioning this. So
they're paid. They're paid shills.
100%. Because
people think they're just great influencers. No, they're paid.
You and I combined. Well, I don't know. We've got middle. And by the way, you know, our account had 100 and some thousand followers on X or whatever you call them. That was dinged with Trump, along with Craig Sawyer. YouTube gone and everything. Mm-hmm. But let me take you back to 2017. And Eric the Tech, if you don't mind, if you can queue up, I think this is, let me verify this, because again, I did this on the fly and I don't want to mess this up. This is in my second message, part two that I sent to you, page 3. Before you put that up, I just want to introduce this. And RT, you and I, we've been obviously, I don't want to dwell on necessarily the people who, attempt to take us down, but yeah, there are many.
Oh, yeah.
You, me, Craig, Save Them, Shatter Ops, Rust is Dark. I mean, I'll tell you what, we've had people, we've had numbskulls, knuckleheads. I hate that word now that, Wolsey's at, but we've had really, really ugly, bad people attempt to take us down. Yeah. I was threatened by the New York Times, the reporter from the New York Times threatened to sue me back in the Pizzagate days. So if I can real quick, and then I'm going to, then look, you can jump in, but here's the situation back in the mid teens of this century. You remember the laptop of Anthony Weiner that contained the Hillary, unclassified Hillary emails, right? Yes. It also contained other materials. Then remember the Podesta emails, yes. WikiLeaks, right? Remember that.
Yes.
Think back here. And I'm putting together a report on this, RT,
and Seth Rich.
And Seth Rich, right? The DNC hack. Okay, which wasn't a hack, it was a transfer. Yep. And the result in Seth Rich being murdered. And of course, you had Donna Brazile Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Oh, and speaking of Debbie Wasserman Schultz, at the very same time, remember the laptop issue that she was having with the Awan brothers, which is actually Awan, his brother, Imran Awan, his brother, plus others, wives and friends in the house. Remember the Wasserman Schultz scandal? And suddenly they find a laptop. Capitol Police finds a laptop in the Rayburn office building, in this little cubbyhole, and it belongs to Debbie Wasserman Schultz. People forget about this, and they think, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, we tried to tell you, okay?
And Ben Affleck. His name's in there, too.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Ben Affleck,
yeah,
the actor.
Yeah. Affleck, yes.
Biggest day in those Podesta emails. Biggest day.
Yeah. You've got...
So remember that when you go to an Affleck movie.
The entirety of Hollywood. Look, Eyes Wide Shut. You remember that movie, folks?
Oh, yeah. Incredible
movie. That was a friggin' documentary.
Yes, it was.
Okay, now, yes. Here's what happened. We went out. And this is why, folks, and I'm gonna just say this right now. I'm never going to do a national news show again. I'm not going to pull a Bongino, okay? I'm just never going to do that. I'm never going to do a national news show. I came across some stuff from Fox when I was on Fox News. When I was on Coast to Coast radio, national radio is what I meant to say. I'm never going to do it. I'm done, because it's only going to be here. It's only going to be with friends like Randy Taylor, Craig Sawyer, and others that you're going to get the truth. But we tried to tell you, remember this. This is Eric the Tech. This is from page submission to show prep. This was published on November 16th, 2017. You remember that song by Dr. Hook and the Medicine? Dr. Hook back in 1972.
In the Medicine Show?
Yeah. The cover of the Rolling Stone. Remember that song?
It? Oh, yeah.
I made it.
Oh, yeah.
My picture wasn't on it. My name was. So on November 16th, 2017, the Rolling Stone magazine, after two reporters were here that summer, published this article, which was a hit piece saying that all of the information that we had, Randy Taylor, Doug Hagman, Russ Dizdar, the Shatter Ops team, was fake, was manufactured, was overblown.
Yeah.
Okay. And of course, what happened next, a lot of this material was used. Why? Was used in the form, was used in a multi-million dollar lawsuit against us. Okay, which cost me almost a quarter of a friggin' million dollars to defend.
Rolling Stone.
But people, you know what, RT, people don't understand how deep this goes. And I'll just show you something real quick here, if you don't mind.
No, it's...
Let's
you got to educate the masses, my friend.
All right, on that same submission, Eric the Tech, there's a 43-second video. If you can play that at your fire when ready, it's, I think it's like 43-45 seconds about Pizzagate, and it kind of gives an overview of how deep this goes. When you're ready, sir. It gives you a little taste of things, right? I mean, it's not meant to be a happy, clappy, funny, you know, give you the warm fuzzies, but that was...
well, it's not a masquerade party, though.
You know, that was from well over 50 years ago. And so
people don't understand the depravity, Doug.
They don't. They don't. I was debating whether to put this up or not in terms of... There is a mirror site for some of the... Or for, you know what? I'm not going to do that. We'll just do this. Eric, on part one's the first submission I sent, there are three attachments. They're all PDFs. Network, Network 2, and Network 3. If you can open Network, that PDF. And folks, this was... this is part of litigation. This is authenticated. And this will give you an idea of how deep everything does go. All right. Let me just see if I got the right one, if I have the right one. Yeah, I do. Okay, now, when I say, let me rephrase that. It is my understanding these were preparatory documents for prosecution and litigation. Okay, but they became part of the Epstein documents. The number, the catalog number of the Department of Justice is on the lower right of each page. All right. So if you, Eric the Tech, if you open the one that says Network, when you can, I know that's a little difficult sometimes to get it synced here. All right. There are some... And I'll leave. I don't know if I can. I guess I'll try to leave the links to these. But if you can go down to, let's see, not page one, page two, page three, page four. So the fifth page, it's in landscape orientation. There it is right there. The Jeffrey Epstein network mapped out. Redacted, of course. There's some you know, folks, this went into the Obama White House with Catherine Rumler, Ghislaine Maxwell, who starred in her own deposition by saying nothing but, you know, pleading the fifth today, right? Exactly what did you expect from her? And Randy Taylor, and Eric, you can leave that for a second, but RT, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
I was convinced when it happened that there was no way in hell that his death could have been faked and that Epstein was definitely died in jail. Whether he was murdered or suicide, you know, I didn't know. Now.
Nah, he's not dead.
I don't, you know what? You could tell me he's, you know, playing a violin on the steps of the Capitol. Okay. And it wouldn't surprise me, bro.
I told you once that I swear to God, I thought I saw him in a parking lot in Canada in a Porsche with a blonde. I was going this way. He was coming this way. We weren't 8 feet apart, 10 feet apart. And if that wasn't Jeffrey Epstein, I'll kiss somebody's ass.
You know,
I'm pretty good with faces.
I love it because I was in the Adirondacks working a case, and I've got to say this: I was at a bar restaurant having supper at like 9 o'clock at night, and at the bar, I swear to God, I saw the Unabomber when that was a thing, right? But anyway, so I get that. I mean, even to the point where I was gonna. I think I might have called the police. And you say, well,
he could have plastic surgery, but he can't change his eyes.
You know, and there have been some pictures, RT, with him on social media with that AI. People have asked AI to like remove the beard, remove, you know, the glasses or whatever. And so, I don't know, but. But here's why I think it's important to talk with things, and then I want you to chime in. I think talk about this. The entirety of our government, the entirety of our culture, which is really upstream. Politics is downstream from culture. You ask about LGBTQI plus issues, the teachers, you know, why the indoctrination? You ask about the homosexual agenda. You follow that, folks, back to Nazi Germany and the gender work done by Mengele and others. The sacrifices to Moloch, which is referenced, of course, on the Hillary emails. This people now have, must understand that this is really Exhibit A in the courtroom of public opinion. This is Exhibit A of the dark spiritual warfare that we're fighting. This is about cannibalism. This is about the human sacrifice. This is about organ selling organs. And if you can't handle that, I get it. I totally understand.
But it doesn't make it go away.
No. And I have to get approval. I want to give some people a heads up before I do this, RT. Some of the investigative products that we have uncovered that, you know, you think me holding a skull, a human skull and a femur, that was used to create part of a temple to worship them. You think that was bad? No, I got some stuff that far worse than that. That's never been seen. Randy Taylor knows.
Yep.
Eric the Tech knows. This is what we're fighting. And you know what? It pisses me off, RT, that this is not about, this is not only about blackmail. This is not only about, well, he's Jewish, you know, it's a Jewish banker. Shut the fuck up.
Yep.
All right. And you know, real quick, and then I'm going to turn this over to you. I don't know what happened. I was waiting and I've been spending like half my life in doctor's offices, okay, lately. Now, the other half in vet's offices. So I have some time to listen to things. I happen to hear Michael Savage, which I don't know how I got it. I just happened to hear it. And he said this, RT, and I thought of you when he said this. And I'm paraphrasing. The podcasters of today are auditioning to their audience. That's why people, but I'm not going to name them, but you know the regulars, right? They're auditioning. They're selling themselves because they're selling a product, or they're answering to who? They're answering to somebody who is paying them, or some entity who's paying them. And if they don't toe that line and if they don't sell well, they're gone. That man, Randy Taylor, myself, people like Craig Sawyer, we're not owned by anybody. We're not selling a damn thing. And as such, we don't have to audition. Now it's just, I don't give a flying F.
So we damn well please.
You're doggone right. And that's the difference. So when you look at these files and you look at the content in there, and then you hear someone's analysis of it, doesn't mean it's right.
Right. There's a lot of bad analysis out there right now.
100,000%.
A lot. And that's why I said I half-ass understand the delays in releasing this stuff. Because look at who's going to take it and run with it. And they're going to twist it and turn it. Or you're not going to get the real pulp.
Exactly.
Because they'll be busy over here.
And RT, I'm going to ask you a question. And we didn't prep for tonight, so the folks.
At all. We're winging it. Yeah. We're winging it, baby.
So this is a question like I would ask you on the phone or in person. you see this group of Epstein survivors making their way around social media and in public. You know, I don't know, a half a dozen women or girls, now women, right? You've seen some iteration or some form of that. Let me ask a question. If they are truly the victims, and I'm not questioning that fact, where are the lawsuits against the estate? Why aren't they, instead of saying whatever they might say, why aren't they saying, and now I may have an answer, but I want to hear your answer. Why aren't they saying, you know what? On this date or this month, even if they can't get the date right, the month, the year, when I was 16, I was burked in the burk by Dick Cheney. Again, as an example. Why aren't they naming names?
I don't know. Fear? Maybe.
The lawsuits too? You know?
Yeah, see, I don't know. Doug, that's a damn good question, because I would be naming names.
Look, I'm kind of a simple guy.
If it's horrific as you said it was,
yeah,
then let's have it. You know, tell us who they are.
Right, because I hate shit posting, and pardon my language. You know what? I hate crap posting on social media. For example, tomorrow is going to change everything. Well, what the hell does that mean? I hate that. Or I hate, you know, I'm breaking this story, you know, tomorrow. Shut up until you do.
Yeah. Right? And please source it.
And source it, right.
You got some people on X, they got a million followers, and there isn't a bit of truth comes out of their mouth.
Precisely. And that's what we're dealing with today, because
unbelievable.
I as I look at everything in RT, I know you're the same way, and God bless you, because you've struggled so much with so many, you've had crap thrown against you. Like, folks, hey, support RT. Is your, by the way.
Yes, my fund's still available. I got it, and I can use the money, folks.
Give it.
It's rt.recoveryfund@gmail.com. It's very simple. rt.recoveryfund@gmail.com. Because I'm going to the bank tomorrow to redo the house, the mortgage. I don't know if we'll get approved. If we don't, that's going to wreck our lives.
Well, so, and I'll tell you what,
it's just
more problems than I've ever seen.
I've just got unreal debt from this medical and the tax people not giving me anticipated tax returns and fighting me on everything. And I don't know where this came from.
Oh, you can.
I know where it came from.
You know where it came from.
I've got a big target painted on my back, especially in Canada. I am a thorn in Mark Carney's side.
And folks, I'm not going to talk out of school, but I'll just say this. RT, even on his worst day, has been fighting some fights to right the, you know, to correct the issues or to fight against the evil that, you know.
I'm hoping somebody in Canada gets the idea. And I've told them before, this isn't my fight. I will not lead it. I am not a Canadian. I will go with you. I will support you. I will fight alongside of you.
Yeah.
But I will not lead this. It's not my job. And I've been very straightforward about that. And I just, these Canadians got to grow some balls, man. They need some balls. You know, this uniparty crap and letting the left just get away with whatever they want. Come on, men, Christian men, you've got to step up to the plate. This complacency as a Christian has got to stop. That's what got us here. It's what got us here in the U.S. I live in two countries, and I love people in both countries. But we've got a fight on our hands. And Trump, I don't know what's going on with him. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing, you know, the ICE thing and all is great, but there's a lot of other things that need to be dealt with in this country. And he's not, he's backed off of them. His priorities are wrong. And I'm really disappointed, ladies and gentlemen.
For example, we've seen the assault on the Second Amendment. We've seen the lack of enthusiasm for the SAVE Act, the, you know, one day, one vote, paper ballot thing. Yep. We've seen a lot of things. Okay. And
a lot of talk still of promises. Well, yeah. Promises don't pay the bills, man.
They don't. And it's a really a sad state. It really is. A couple of other things, RT, real quick. And folks, really, RT and Randy Taylor, the Recovery Fund, important because, look, I know the backstory, and I'm not going to say anything that's going to put him on the spot, but just, you know, hey, if do what you can do. Network 2 attachment, if you can show that. And this is a different type of network map. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. If you can go down the landscape, the fourth page, which is the landscape page. And again, this is contained in the email, Epstein email tranche, but the authenticity, again, it's not obviously not written by him, not published by him, but not compiled by him. But this is appears to be an investigative work product that has specific use or had specific use for law enforcement. Now, whether it was used or validated as such is questionable. However, it's necessary to see. Okay, this is page 4 of Network 2. And again, the origin would be on the bottom, or the catalog number of the DOJ would be on the bottom right. But if you look at the page 4, and that's what we're on right there, it's a spreadsheet. Victim, witness, DOB, DOB. And then, of course, across the top are the Jane Doe numbers. Their actual identities are redacted. And then if you go from, if you go vertically, age of first contact, high school, brought by, dates of contact, so on. And that extends into the following page. Knowledge or discussion of age. Meaning, obviously, intent, knowingly messing with a minor, non-consenting adult or non-consenting non-adult, types of payments. And I would urge caution because, again, we don't know. We can see the information, but who validated this? I tend to think this has had and does have some uses. Okay, so, and for example, if you go to 14, you know, down there in the left, payment for recruitment, payments made by, taken upstairs by, very detailed clothing worn during massage, and then, of course, the type of activity, sexual, the next page is type of activity, and then there's some, you know, descriptive terms of what the sex acts would be. And that would be line 6 or 19, or what is it, 19 and 20. And statements made by Epstein, of course. Again, take this for what it's worth. But these are the documents that we're looking at. And one last one, and then RT, feel free to jump in on this one, on this next one. The document 3, network 3, that is. And I put this up for, okay, this, I do believe this did come or originate from, in part from the early 2000s. Some of it came from, originated from his initial problem in Florida, and then his New York's problem as well, charges in New York. If you go to the, if you scroll down, you'll see the individual, the role that that individual played, the possible location and notes. Again, I found this as an investigator interesting. If this would be page, let's see, if you go to page 2, okay, pretty much everything's redacted. However, the there are some names minus redactions. This bears scrutiny. That's on, what is that, page 2, page 3, and that's where the names, some of the names exist. I do have some other documents that are law enforcement generated that match this information. So hear what I'm saying. New York NYPD detectives investigating the Wiener laptop created some documents that match much of what you're seeing here.
And they said that the things they saw there were so horrific that it these were case-hardened detectives.
Right.
And they had a hard time with it, digesting it.
Right. Yeah.
And you think about that. I want you to think about that. You know, that NYPD cops are tough. Detectives are. I'll tell you that right now. I've known many, many, many of them. And some are great friends. For them to be that upset about that laptop tells me something.
And I spoke with NYPD detective that I hadn't spoken with since that Pizzagate era. I think it was the last time I spoke to him was in the summer of 2017. Since retired, and he said, "Well, I feel vindicated because he was actually." I don't want to say demoted, but they put him through hell. And we talked about things, and he said, everything that's happening right now, and RT, I'll just toss this back to you, but when you look at the fraud being unveiled in Minnesota, when you look at everything that's taking place right now, the Fulton County stuff, when you look at the Epstein things being revealed, but you have no... But what are we lacking? We're lacking accountability. We're lacking the...
In a big way.
Justice, right?
Yeah. And just people resigning from their positions isn't good enough for me.
Amen.
That's the first thing they should do. Then they should be taken into custody and prosecuted.
My friend, I want to ask you, what do we do? What do we do? How do we get... How do we bring these people to account? How do we bring justice to these people if we don't have a Justice Department?
I don't know. We certainly can't get the legislators on our side. These people are pathetic the way I'm